Madam X, how can I explain? On no account must you do anything except under my express directions, otherwise there is the gravest danger.
Danger? To me?
No, madam, said Ro, to the medium. You must understand that the phenomena that occur are explained by science in a certain way. I will put the matter very simply, using no technical terms. A spirit, to manifest itself, has to use the actual physical substance of the medium.
You have seen the vapor fluid issuing from the lips of the medium. This is finally condenses and is built up into the physical semblance of the spirit's dead body.
But this ectoplasm will be believed to be the actual substance of the medium. We hope to prove this someday by carefully waiting and testing, but the great difficulty is the danger and pain which attends the medium on any handling of the phenomena. Were anyone to seize hold of the materialization roughly, the death of the medium might result.
It was an excerpt from Agatha Christie's short story, The Last Seance.
That story was the starting point for my journey into the world of mysterious. As a child, the world seemed full of secrets, and I truly believe that what we now consider supernatural would one day be explained. Since then, my curiosity has only grown stronger. My name is Margarita Gromyzdina. Hello. In this radio documentary, Do You Want to Believe?, I set out to explore the phenomenon of belief in supernatural. I don't know about you, but I want to believe. However, rational thinking leaves little room in my mind for blind faith. That's why I've spoken to people of different perspectives – true believer, skeptic, a professional medium, and a psychologist – all to try and create as objective picture as possible. After all, it seems that almost everyone has wondered about mystical things at least once during childhood, hasn't we? And in fact, there is a psychological explanation behind this. Our interest in supernatural starts when we are very young. Even before we understand ourselves as a separate people, as children we feel connected to our mothers and to the world around us. We often imagine that things, even though that aren't alive, has feelings and thoughts. This way of seeing the world makes it natural for us to believe in something mysterious. So, belief in supernatural isn't just about outside influence or chance. It comes from how our minds work. And it's been this way for humans since the very beginning. Imagine a world where everything is alive. Rocks, rivers, the wind. Ancient people believed that they could talk not just to other humans, but also to animals, trees, and even spirits. That is called animism, the belief that all of nature is connected and full of life. To early humans, nature wasn't just a collection of things, it was full of family and friends. They saw messages in dreams and signs in the world. Through special rituals like drumming and dancing, shamans helped their communities to feel protected and united. So when Kamen gathered around a fire or danced beneath the stars, they weren't just telling stories, they were trying to make sense of their world and find hope together. The echo of belief in supernatural still lingers in many of us, even today. Often it hides behind a veil of half-truth, half-belief. For example, while searching for those who openly admit their faith, I discovered how many people claim that horoscopes are nonsense, yet they still check them every day, just in case the universe sends them a lucky sign. One of my interviewees, Alisa, shared her own story, a story of belief that goes back 3 generations in her family.
When I was 16, when we used to practice such things with my friends, we went to one park to have a picnic there, and we met a stranger who was about 30 years old, a guy, and he wanted to talk, to join us, and he told us that he can also like predict the future. And he started to tell us what we should expect. So he told me something about my future babies and my life. And he told me that I had trauma. And it was like 3 months before this meeting. And it's hard to, I think, to understand for a stranger when he sees just you in the first time that you had a trauma which is not very, very visible. I started to believe his words. I was interested in this topic since I was a little girl because I heard a lot of stories from my grandma. She was a doctor in the Soviet Union. She used to heal people with her hands, her patients. She told me a lot of stories. For example, there was a woman. Her name was Juna. She was very popular in the Soviet Union. She could heal people as well. And my grandma was a student of her. And she used to practice this, my grandma used to practice this thing, but sometimes after these procedures, she felt not very well. That's why she stopped doing this. But there was an article in the newspaper called Leninets about my grandma, that she was healing people, and the people's reviews about this method. My grandma told me that there are energy poles around the body and she can heal with the warmth of her hands. So even when I was, and still when I'm visiting her and I have problems with I have headache or stomachache, she can just put or hold close to my parts, her hands, and I feel better after that.
Long before science separated from sacred, supernatural healing was part of early civilizations. In ancient Mesopotamia, science, medicine, and magic were linked. People saw signs from the gods and stars, animal organs, and water. Priests and diviners studied this to protect and guide. Other cultures also blended spirituality and healing. In ancient India, Vaivism and Saivism shaped religious life. Kings supported multiple faiths, and rituals kept cosmic balance. Politics, medicine, and spirituality were connected. Despite my lifelong fascination with mysterious, my curiosity has always been balanced, perhaps even challenged, by my older brother's unwavering skepticism. Ever since we were children, he saw it as his mission to bring me back down to earth any time I drifted toward mystical. In my mind, there is no greater skeptic than him, so I decided to turn to my brother for this conversation to find out if his views have ever shifted at all now that we are adults.
I've never had like a personal contact with psychic people, and I also don't have too many people in my circle, like people I talk to, who are into these type of things. I think this is not an accident. I think that's because usually belief in psychic things usually comes with many other behavioral patterns or communications that I'm not very comfortable with. From what I've seen, the pattern that I've seen, that people who seriously believe in psychic things and supernatural abilities is usually, from my experience, and more often, are people who had faced some kind of significant events or problems, and they're trying to find an explanation for why that is happening and how it can be solved. Why are they looking for this type of explanation? I don't know. Maybe the logical explanation, like the most obvious one, does not sound good. And that they're trying to come up with some other explanation of why things are happening in a certain way. Let's say someone has a series of unfortunate love relationship. You know, they break up with one partner, they break up with other partner. And then the question is, why is that happening? Let's say they start to question themselves or the other people. It probably is like a logical explanation to what is happening. In some cases, the answer would be like, it's something wrong with you. Like you cannot, I don't know, build a long-term relationship, or you cannot commit properly, or you don't want to go through the maybe some conflicts or hard things, you try to avoid them, and that over time results in the problems and people break up. But this is a very, like, okay, what do I do with this information? I gotta change somehow. And then suddenly someone comes up to you, or you are asking the question, someone tells you, no, you are fine. It's just 3 centuries ago, someone in your family was cursed. It's not you who are the problem. You know, it's nothing you can do. Like, you're doing everything all right. Just like, I can solve it for you for your money. And people are like, yeah, I actually like the idea of not me being the problem. And 1,000 euro doesn't sound that bad for having a good relationship. So sure, let's do some magic rituals and fix my life. So long story short, my take is that supernatural and magical things are kind of like get-rich-quick scheme in life. When there is an obvious answer, you know, work hard, dedicate your time, make the sacrifice, you know, find a better job, develop personally, learn how to talk to people, I don't know, get an education, get a degree. Or you can just buy this course that happens to be on sale for $99, and I will teach you how to make money online. And everyone wants it. Like, if it was real, like, I would have gladly paid $99. I just know that it doesn't work this way. And so far, we still haven't had a single person to prove that they have supernatural powers, because, you know, the test is built that way, that there is no way you can randomly win it. It's like, it's statistics is against you. So yeah, I think that's one of the main, like, logical arguments. So, okay, just go prove it. Why no one has done it yet?
Yes, some people still insist on rational explanations, but that was hardly the case for the people of the Middle Ages. In the medieval world, the line between the living and the dead was thinner than a shadow at dusk. Ghosts, visions, and meetings with spirits were common and showed that life went on after death. The dead could give warnings, ask for prayers, or appear as holy people or evil ones. Often it was hard to tell what these visitors really were, and people accepted this uncertainty. They knew the world was more mysterious than it seemed. At this point, it felt essential to go beyond black and white perspective of simple belief or disbelief and go deeper into the esoteric world by discovering what it means to connect with spirits through the eyes of a real medium. That's why I spoke with Susan, whose openness and sincerity are truly unforgettable. But don't take my word for it, listen for yourself.
My name is Susan Hughes, and I am what is known as a medium. I'm a spiritualist, that is my religion. So part of that is mediumship, but I'm also a trained psychic and I work with the soul of people. I have trained as a healer, but, you know, that is a different issue or a different thing at times. So my upbringing was pretty traumatic. And from the outside, from the exterior, other people looking, and they wouldn't have known that. But I know it, and I have suffered it, I suppose. I don't like saying that word because I've moved beyond it, I suppose. Maturity brings a lot of sense. So at the age of 17, I kind of went, oh God, there has to be more to life than this. That cannot be. This cannot be it, this misery and this pain. And I actually became pregnant at the age of 17. I went seeking for this more that I knew was there. This can't be it. Now, I suppose I'm an intelligent woman who has done some stupid things. That doesn't make me stupid. So I delved into the world of psychism. I was always interested in it anyway. But I taught myself how to read energy using playing cards. People use tarot and oracle cards. And I got books from the library and about body language. I was just fascinated on how I knew stuff that other people didn't know, because to me it was common sense. And obviously I'm trying to release myself from this pain full life. And back then it brought me on a study. I studied psychology, I studied counselling, I studied all psychic matters, and I was doing that for many years, and then I stopped. I got married and had more children, and then I went back to it, and I then discovered I was a medium. I didn't know what that was, because my fear, Margarita, was that I would bring pain to someone who was already in pain. And my idea, my innocence, my naivety said to me, look, you know the path to, we'll call it healing. You know the path. You can share this with other people. Psychic is all about you, the soul of you, the person sitting in front of me. And mediumship is about the soul of people who have crossed over, who have left this earth. But and science has proven that energy cannot be destroyed. So what are we but energy? So where do we move to when the energy of us leaves the human body? So that's how I try to explain to people, your energy, you can't be destroyed. So mediums train to work into that vibration of that energy. Does it work all the time? No, but most of the time it does. And it is a belief, because as I said, I'm a spiritualist, and part of that is it's a science, a philosophy, and a religion. And so the science part of it is the mediumship. It's the inspiration. People talk about inspiration a lot, and they forget that they're saying, or don't realize they're saying, I am in spirit. I am inspired. We've listened to that higher force of us, that higher energy, that higher power. So I absolutely know it exists. Can everybody do it? If they train to do so. It's kind of like, can everybody drive a car? If they learn to do it, they can. Do they have the means to purchase a car and all of that kind of thing and keep the fuel going? Well, that's another conversation. So from my perspective and all my years of training, and like I said to you, I'm fascinated by this, absolutely fascinated, because there's always more to discover. And going back in the centuries, there's many famous people. Telsa was a spiritualist. Do you know? Oh, there's many inspired inventions that have come through men back in those days, of course, who were spiritually driven. So to hear that now, people go, oh, that's a nonsense, science is science. I agree, science is science. I cannot be destroyed. That's a science. So where do I go? Mediumship moves into that space. The information that I'm inspired with, it just passes through me, because it's not for me, it's for that person. And then I will work at connecting with the souls of those who have passed over. Now, it's no good me bringing forward, your daddy's here and he says he loves you. I need to say, your father worked very hard. I know he was a labourer. I know he worked in carpentry. And I know he loved his steak on a Saturday. That's evidence, you see. So, and then when the evidence is accepted, I can move into the soul of that person and those memories that are very strong. That's all about hope, because a lot of people are worried they didn't do enough for their loved one. That, you know, I was my mother's carer for 7 years, and boy, she was a difficult lady. But that is as it is. And then she passed. And so I never worried that she wasn't okay. I never gave it a second thought. But people who don't have my understanding and my belief do. Did I do enough for my mum? Did I know enough for my dad? Of course you did. You did it from love. And it doesn't matter what you think you did or didn't do, from love is all you need. So the world of spirit is a world of love, of compassion. There's no anger. There's no human conditions, you see, because that's doesn't exist. And I know that every person in this world has had an experience, whether they speak about it or they don't speak about it, whether they'd call it psychic or spiritual or whatever it is, everyone has had that experience, because it is within them.
To my shame, I had never known much about spiritualism before. As Susan pointed out, many famous people were once followers of the faith, but where did it all begin?
In the late 19th and early 20th century, after war and loss, spiritualism grew in the US and UK. Millions attended seances believing that they could communicate with spirits for comfort and guidance. For some, like Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, spiritualism became a personal mission. He believed messages from the dead could connect them with the living. By supporting spiritualism alongside, famous people like Abraham Lincoln and Queen Victoria helped legitimize and spread the movement at the height of its popularity. Yet, spiritualism sparked strong controversy. Christian leaders warned it was deception or evil, arguing its spirit messages went against Christian belief, leading to widespread public debates. As the 20th century advanced, elements of spiritualism were observed into the New Age movement, blending Eastern philosophy, mysticism, and practices such as meditation. Wherever there is faith, there will always be opposition. We now live in an era of mindfulness, self-help, and endless access to every kind of information with experts ready to guide us in every field. Yet, even today, in moments of trouble, we still find ourselves searching for answers from higher powers. But what do the experts say? To find out, I spoke with a psychologist.
Well, one of the important psychological characteristics of a person that contributes to the development of belief in supernatural phenomena is the external locus of control. It can develop under the influence of various social factors, which include, firstly, upbringing as encouragement of independence or supreme control. Secondly, personal experience in solving problems and achieving goals. Thirdly, culture, as the presence of traditions and beliefs. In this sense, any religion can serve as an example of belief in extrasensory abilities and supernatural phenomena. Also, the level of education of a person, the degree of development of reflection and self-awareness of the person can be considered as factors. The higher the level of self-awareness, the less a person is inclined to such beliefs. Also, as a rule, there is a connection with the type of personality. Mystical thinking is more often observed in excitable and stuck personalities.
Systematic errors in thinking.
Sure, they distort a person's perception of reality. In general, any cognitive distortions are an element of a person's constant adaptation to the changing conditions of the surrounding world. This helps a person act, make decisions in situations of uncertainty. On the one hand, they provide a person with a certain models of behavior. This frees him from the need to spend time and resources on constant analysis of information and choice of behavior. But on the other hand, this helps a person come to terms with the decisions made. The main benefit is getting a quick and ready answer, you know, something like a magic pill. It is a feeling of support and attention. In a situation of uncertainty, experiencing grief, it gives a feeling of the presence of some greater external force that determines everything. This leads to a decrease in anxiety, getting rid of the feeling of hopelessness, getting some peace. However, of course, this will not lead to an objective perception of reality.
Times change and the world moves forward, but one thing remains constant. Whether or not to believe is a personal choice, and no amount of logic or science can ever take away our right to hope for a miracle. After all my research, I've decided to leave the door to the unknown just slightly ajar. And you, do you want to believe?